Blog Talk Radio.
And
written about it
on their websites, and
California Sky Watch and Karakom Institute. Yeah, you know, these people are out there, and they've done a lot of work, and but they've been silenced over the years. And you know, and I'm so excited that Dame has become a very strong voice in this movement. You know, it makes me feel very, very good that people are coming back. I don't know if our good friend John Brennan will be joining us tonight. I've asked him to, but his schedule may be conflicting. But John was a very, very one of the first chemtrail activists. Okay, and people who were stood against geoengineering.
He spent a lot of time trying to wake people up to the fact that there is such a thing as geoengineering. He put in our neck of the woods. He passed out a lot of flyers. He tried to get people to come to talk.
And he was a reporter on our show for our show for 8 years.
He wrote into the newspaper. He did all kinds of things, but you know, it was hard. Some people just refused to accept that.
Most people, and you know, nobody in the government, and nobody in politics would even consider looking up, or talking about this stuff. And because of that, you know, it kind of died out, but it never went away. I mean, it's still there. And it's still, and the people who know about it have gotten more angry and more angry. Yet we've become silenced, basically, about it. So anyway, our atmosphere is still totally saturated with toxic metal and chemical particulates from the constant spraying. And fully 20% of the sun's direct rays no longer reach the surface of the planet. Our global dimming. Though the blue of lethal reflective materials form a membrane around our planet that cools large regions temporarily, along with artificial chemical ice nucleation of clouds, it comes at the cost of a worsening overall warming. More thermal energy is wrapped by the toxic CZ clouds in the long run than is deflected in the short run. Let's add to this an increasingly shredded ozone layer, totally disrupted weather hydrological cycles, altered ocean currents, triggering of catastrophic climate feedback loops, and a literal poisoning of the entire web of life from top to bottom. Again, all direct consequences of the ongoing geoengineering program. Consideration of this study below. Like all mainstream science articles, reports, and media coverage of the geoengineering issue, the study also fails to recognize or acknowledge the geoengineering elephant in the room. It does point out many legitimate issues and ramifications surrounding the program that are saturating our atmosphere with lethally toxic chemicals, though it in no way admits to the glaring reality that geoengineering has long since been fully deployed and is not just a proposal. Okay, for those that truly want to comprehend the gravity of our collective situation, the document below is of the important consideration and should be read. The full text can be opened at the bottom of the page. Now, I'm going to ask you to please, those who are listening, go to geoengineeringwatch.org and go down to this page and read that first article. That's the one I'm reading. It's absolutely staggering to see that what's happening. And Lyle and I, this is old hat to us because we've seen it for quite some time and known about it. But we've talked about it in so many different forums and different ways. But, you know, it's just...
It's always great to have another voice.
And
geoengineeringwatch.org, which is this gentleman's site, is really a very, very good site. You can really get educated on geoengineering and chemtrail, and I urge you to go to the site if you have time before our guest comes on, certainly after. I think it'll be worth your while. There's some good audio pieces, some good videos, excellent stuff.
Well,
it's an easily managed site. It's very well set up.
Yeah, it's very good. But I wanted to, before we bring our guest on, and he'll be joining us in about 5 minutes or so, something of the most critical thing that came up recently really, really bothered me when I read it was what's happening with Obama right now and how Obama's making good to our promise to eliminate free speech, all right? And this guy is killing our Constitution. He's just killing our rights. And this is a very important article. Prior to the 2012 election, David Axelrod announced that Obama would push for a constitutional amendment to roll back free speech if he was reelected. Obama is making good on that promise. Obama promised to destroy free speech combined with the mass passage of the NDAA. Constitutes a lethal cocktail for all freedom-loving Americans. The last of the Bill of Rights, which will take it away in its totality, is indeed the freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is the cornerstone of dissent, necessary to civil disobedience and rebellion in the face of abject tyranny. Freedom of speech is the organizing principle for the people in response to its government. Without freedom of speech, there can only be tyranny. And where tyranny abounds, there is always unchecked abuse perpetrated against the citizens by the minions of the government. All right? Now, this is what he's done. And, you know, it's really, really beyond the pale of any reasonable thing that they're present. And he's done it all in an executive order, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which means nothing.
Which is unconstitutional, but basically
exactly.
The Constitution is shredded anyway.
Because
so.
We have an impotent Congress who refuses to do anything, okay, and to check the and balance this tyrant, okay. Well, anyway, the last of the Bill of Rights, which will be taken away in its totality, is indeed the freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is the cornerstone. I just read that. The government has a long history of supporting attacks on the First Amendment. John Adams was in support of the Alien and Sedition Act, which outright criminalized criticism of the government and its officials. History shows that Lincoln jailed protesters against the draft and the Civil War in general. President Wilson also jailed World War I era protesters. President Roosevelt even took the unprecedented act of making a preemptive move against Americans of Japanese background by incarcerating them because they might pose a threat to the World War effort in World War II. However, each of these incidents were still standalone issues and ended as soon as the perceived crisis had abated. What is going on in America in terms of an attack upon First Amendment is unprecedented. The assaults upon First Amendment rights are not in response to a perceived crisis. The Obama administration attacks upon freedom of speech are not standalone events, and the scope of these attacks upon freedom of speech are incremental and appear to be aimed at eliminating all free speech, thus rendering the government and its crucial officials immune from criticism. The Obama administration, would you like to read some of this, Lila? The Obama administration is attacking the First Amendment in unprecedented ways in this country.
The assaults began in 2012. With H.R. 347 and have accelerated to effectively outlawing legitimate political activity by grassroots organizations and minor political parties. America is one short step away from having its free speech rights obliterated from the annals of history. 2 years ago, when Congress passed H.R. 347 entitled the Federal Restricted Buildings and Grounds Improvement Act, it passed the House by a vote of 399-3, and hardly anyone noticed. Certainly, with this type of landslide vote, nobody in Congress seems to care about the First Amendment. H.R. 347 was designed to improve public grounds by moving all protesters elsewhere. The law claims it is merely an update to an old law, Section 1752 of Title 18 of the United States Code, that restricted areas around the president, vice president, or others under the protection of the Secret Service. The original law was enacted in 1971 and amended in 2006. The Laurent effect has not been fundamentally altered since its initial passage. However, what has significantly changed since 1971 are the types of events and individuals warranting Secret Service protection.
Under the present law, did you want to finish?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Under the present law, any occasion that is officially defined as a national security, a special security event, automatically warrants Secret Service protection. That can include college bowl games, major PGA golf tournaments, basketball championships, rock concerts, and even the present Winter Olympics. Excuse me. The Super Bowl and the World Series have been declared an NSEE since 9/11. That's a national security event. Further, it is the president who determines who is eligible for Secret Service protection under the NSSE provisions. This shields any and all public figures from legitimate protests. The net effect of H.R. 347 is to limit to any political public figure deemed by the president to be in some kind of danger. However, the Super Bowl, not a rock concert, constitutes government business. This is a clear abuse of power, but it does not stop with H.R. 347.
Excuse me. Okay, journalists are intimidated. Last spring, revelations about the Justice Department's secretly seizing phone records at the Associated Press and obtaining a Fox News reporter's email account have increased concerns closer to home. Close to my home near Arizona State University, hired Washington Times freelance reporter Leonard Downey, who subsequently examined a range of Obama's administration tactics that hinder government transparency. These included the unprecedented use of the Espionage Act in prosecuting media leaks, classifying government documents as secret when no harm could come from their release, increased government surveillance that jeopardizes the safety of new sources, Freedom of Information Act violations, and White House-produced content that can't substitute for independent accountability journalism. Right. Administration attempts to silence political dissent.
Political dissent is protected under the First Amendment, as is political activity. The current administration is attempting to silence millions of libertarians, constitutionalists, and Tea Partiers by attempting to pass new regulations which will destroy their free speech rights. America, you need to pay close attention to this development. The IRS is trying to silence millions of Tea Partiers and third-party candidates by destroying free speech rights. If these regulations are allowed to stand, America will be forever silent. Please keep in mind that the following regulations only apply to third party.
Our guest is here with us.
Okay.
Join us.
Just let me finish reading that. Grassroots groups and the Tea Party. These regulations will make it illegal to mention a candidate up for a free election within 60 days of election. The groups will not be allowed to register voters, call for elections or defeat of a political candidate, hold candidate forums so voters can decide who would best represent them, in other words. So there's a lot here.
The provision would cut proverbial legs out from under any political party for movement. Okay? And the conclusion is there is definitive reason why the Founding Fathers made the act of free speech the First Amendment to the Constitution. Without question, it is our most important right. All right? And,
it goes on a little bit.
Yeah, you can go to this article. I would recommend it. Obama makes good. That's an intelhub.com. Right? Very good website. And right now, we're joined by our guest, Dane Wigginton, and we are going to put him on right this minute. Go. Hello, Dane. Are you with us?
I can hear you. Yeah, I hear you now. Yes.
Oh,
good
great.
To go.
Right.
Are you guys
we
doing?
We loud enough for you there. Can you hear us well enough?
Yeah, I hear you good enough now.
good.
Be
okay.
Good, Dalio. No problem.
So anyway, Dana, I'm so happy to have you on with us tonight, and my co-host Lila here, we're quite enthused that there's a new voice, you know, out there that well, maybe not new. You've been around for quite some time, but you're making you've started to develop a strong following, and all the information and your website, geoengineeringwatch.com. We're very impressed with what you've come up with, and we want to thank you for you know, persevering on this and bringing this stuff to the forefront.
Same gratitude back to you and Lila, Leo. It's people like you that have given the issue a voice. I'm very grateful for that.
Oh, well, we're always happy to have someone on the show who is like-minded. And maybe you could share with our audience what got you interested in chemtrails and geoengineering? How did you first discover it?
I grew up in smog in Southern California, and the pressing mission in my life was to get out of that filthy air. Eventually reaching the Pacific Northwest and thinking I would be in clean air, and I live off the grid. I'm in the middle of the wilderness. The flow of air and moisture comes off the Pacific. And I built a big off-grid home. My background's in renewable energy. So shortly after completion of my home and these grid patterns above me in the sky, and again, my background with Bechtel Power, I'm a former Bechtel Power employee. My home is on the cover of the world's largest renewable energy magazine. So I have a pretty good idea of what should be going on above me and what kind of solar power I should be producing. When I began to lose 60, 70, 80% of my solar power from these intermittent grid patterns on various days, clearly some sort of experimentation was going on above me, and it didn't take much digging to find the subject of geoengineering, and I was astounded at the mountain of data that was there that I was unaware of. This was 2001, somewhere in that range. So I began to take lab tests, hoping I would not find the materials that were listed in geoengineering patents, but I did find them, and I found them in ever-escalating quantities, from initial lab tests of 7 parts per billion of aluminum, and there shouldn't be any in my rain in this area. I mean, I talked to a hydrogeologist after the first test who confirmed, and I quote, he said, "You shouldn't have metal in your rain in that location unless you live next to an Alcoa factory." Obviously, I don't. So metal in my rain tests here, Leo and Lila, went up as high as almost 50,000% increase from an already high baseline test. So much metal has fallen on us here in the Pacific Northwest, it's changed soil pHs 10 to 14 times toward alkaline. So I've been in the battle ever since. It's not a fight I wanted. I'm not politically oriented. I've never been an activist, but quite simply, it doesn't take a lot of reasoning to understand if you can't walk out your door and breathe without sucking this stuff in, you have a fight on your hands.
Oh, boy, you sure do.
No, we are concerned because back in 2003 when we first began researching this, and we realized that it began globally in 1998, but in 2003, locally we started seeing it, and I remember asking one of the local guys who works with the involved with the EMTs or emergency medical techs, and he said that he couldn't understand why there was suddenly such a rise in respiratory ailments and emergencies over the last year. Now that was in 2002, 2003 mm-hmm. when we first started seeing heavy chemtrailing in our area, right? And when we noticed it, but of course nobody knew that, or nobody even put two and two together until we did, and our friend John Brennan. Was the guy who came up with the first links to the geoengineering.
We had him on our show about once a month.
Yeah,
and he would talk a lot about it, and he was the first person who kind of introduced us to
it. Yes, he did, and we got him on our show as a regular reporter, and he opened up a whole lot of eyes in this area, and we got him on local television and shows, and he started doing a weekly series exposing this stuff, and we were really rolling, but I'll tell you,
there's a lot of resistance.
A lot of resistance to it. And I'm sure you have gotten a lot of it as well. But, I mean, everything from outright, you know, reporters, legitimate reporters attacking the intelligence and integrity of him and myself and everybody else who all we had to do was look up, you know, and see what was going on. This became an issue. How have you been able to combat this and continue to move on and come up with such great evidence finally and gotten the kind of following that you've gotten?
Let me back up just a minute on the programs themselves, just to clarify for your listeners that we now know that these programs have been going on since probably the late 40s. We have not on any sort of scale that they were ramped up in the late 90s, as you indicated. That's when it appears that they went all out on the programs. But I found a document on the NASA archives from 1966, 80 pages long, outlining the scope and scale of the U.S. weather mod programs even then, with budgets in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Almost none of us alive today have known truly natural weather, because if you affect any part of the system, you affect the whole system. And now, of course, today, the system is completely affected, completely engineered, completely derailed. But they've been at it that long. We have studies of some scientists who apparently didn't know what these programs were, that they were going on, reporting on aluminum haze, an Arctic haze, in the early 50s.
Wow.
We believe that to be the beginning of these programs. In the Southern Hemisphere ozone hole, they appeared to really start hammering Antarctica early on. Southern Hemisphere ozone hole, we believe, is much more directly related to ongoing geoengineering programs than the CFCs, CFCs being a much smaller effect. So been going on for a very long time. So none of us have known truly natural weather. And at this point, the amount of blowback that's built into the system from them hijacking it is unknown and is going to be tremendous, but these programs simply must be brought to a stop no matter what. As far as how I handle people's reactions to this, recent psychoanalysis of comparing quote-unquote conspiracy theorists, and in this case this is not a theory, this is conspiracy fact, but a recent psychoanalysis comparing those who question the official narrative to those who blindly follow the official narrative. Those who blindly follow tend to be aggressive, unwilling to look at facts, data, and in general, according to this report, not nearly as sane as those who question the official narrative. Why would we find that a surprise? People who question tend to be So there you go. I mean, that's how you deal with it, and those that quite simply, a lot of people are just scared out of their socks about this issue, and so they feel somehow if they can beat you back into a corner and make you deny it, then maybe they'll feel a little more safe and secure. But, you know, for a lot of us, we're not going there. I'm not going there. I'll stay at this post in my last breath or till it stops, till the spraying stops. So bottom line is people need to realize this isn't going to go away. Even those that chose to ignore 9/11 and what happened there, and it clearly...
That was amazing. Yeah, we were on that the day it happened, and... you know, we never gave up on it, but it's like, you know, it was absolutely unbelievable.
Well, the more distance you get from an event,
yeah,
the more difficult it is to get traction on it, whereas chemtrails and geoengineering, all you have to do is look up and it's there.
I mean, that,
there
you
go. And that's the point. The people can ignore 9/11. They
that's
can
right.
Pretend it didn't happen. And it's not necessarily, I mean, it's affecting them, but they don't see it so clearly. But now with this issue, again, it's ripping the climate system apart, quite literally. It's toxifying the entire surface of the Earth. It's tearing the ozone layer apart. Any one of a number of various aspects of what's happening with the biosphere right now has the potential to end all life on Earth. No ozone layer, no life. If the methane mass expulsion, which is now occurring, it is occurring in the Arctic as we speak. There is a tremendous amount of methane releasing, methane hydrate from the seafloor. If that event continues to unfold, there's enough methane in the deposits in the Arctic alone to end life on Earth many times over. So in addition to all of us are losing our health day in, day out, whether we realize it or not, whether we admit it or not, we're all breathing this stuff in, period. There's no argument about that. It's reducing our ability to think clearly. So my argument would be this. I've always said geoengineering is the greatest and most immediate threat short of nuclear catastrophe. But even with nuclear catastrophe, if the geoengineering continues and none of us are thinking clearly or cognitively, how are we to deal with Fukushima or shutting down the rest of the nuclear plants? Again, it still all roads lead back to geoengineering in a sense that we must stop this issue or these programs or there'll be nothing left to save quite soon.
I wanted to ask you, how does Fukushima play into this right now? I mean, we're looking at the entire Pacific Ocean being a dead zone within the next few years.
Probably already is.
A lot of it is. And
it's heading that way now. Yeah, it's heading that way quickly. Everything's interconnected. Even with Fukushima, and this is where HARP comes into play, that High-Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. A lot of people don't know what that acronym means, but HARP is an ionosphere heater. I know you guys know that. We believe there's at least 26 of the large ground-based radio frequency transmitters and an unknown number of smaller facilities. Also, there's sea-based facilities. It's called SBX radar. It looks like a giant golf ball on a massive oil derrick. And that's ionosphere heater also. Just to explain for your listeners, these are extremely powerful radio frequency transmitters, not receivers. They can heat the ionosphere to tens of thousands of degrees over huge areas. This causes a bulge in the atmosphere, and this changes high and low pressure zones. They can steer the jet stream with this. So this is also, again, the effect on the ozone layer from the spraying, which also shreds ozone. Now we have plankton dying. You mentioned the oceans and the die-off. This is another cause of it. Right now, we're getting UV readings, and we're measuring in California, Maine, Florida, New Mexico. We're getting UV readings that UVB specifically. There's UVA and UVB, UVC, and below that is X-ray. So UVC is supposed to stop 100,000 feet up in the atmosphere, we're told. We're also told that no more than 5% of total incoming UV is UVB. We now know that at least 60% is UVB. That's a 1,200% increase. And assuming the total UV has gone up, we think that the actual reading is much higher still. So we are getting lethal doses of UVB. The UVB kills plankton. This is a critical issue with what's happening in the Pacific because it's not just Fukushima. The plankton are being absolutely annihilated right now, and the UVB is a part of that. So plankton stocks globally are 50% down. 50%. Krill stocks in some areas 80% down. So the food chain is breaking down also.
For people who don't realize, plankton is the diet of a lot of the fish in the ocean. And that really destroys the food chain.
It does. It's the bottom of the food chain. And also plankton produces 50 to 60% of Earth's oxygen content. So this should be headlines on every paper, but it's not.
And no, have you had any luck at all in getting any political traction with it, with your website and with your talk?
Some. Mm-hmm. I had a week ago, I had a high-level meeting at the Capitol in Sacramento, very high-level meeting, and I do believe that there's wheels turning there. I don't know how far they'll get. I know the power structure lowers the hammer on anybody who tries to address this issue. And the degree to which they've set up the system to not show the contamination from these programs is astounding. State of California stopped testing for aluminum in drinking water in 2002. California Department of Fish and Game stopped testing for aluminum in the runoff waters around the state. They test for everything you can imagine, but not aluminum. So, and also the air testing equipment, you guys have probably heard of PM10 and PM2.5. It's 10 micron and 2.5 micron air testing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're talking about particles from geoengineering that are exponentially smaller. So they go virtually undetected. And the smaller the particle, the more harmful they are to the human organism. So you have these articles coming out saying the air is cleaner, less particulates. It's an absolute lie. It's an absolute total lie. And you have also, for example, Weather Channel.
Yep.
And Weather Central, Weather Underground. If you watch Weather Channel right now, it's absolutely comical. It's clear what their orders are to make it sound like the whole world is a frozen wasteland. when much of the world is in meltdown right now, but they focus on the areas where they've been training the engineered snowstorms back east, and that's exactly what they are. We see the jet stream manipulation matching the HAARP signals. We have satellite imagery of the spraying that goes on as they're seeding and artificially ice nucleating these storms. So these are engineered storms, and the Weather Channel focuses on these. And who owns the Weather Channel? Rothschilds, literally, and Weather Central, Weather Underground. So they have to control the message. They have to try to make the totally unnatural seem natural. And, National Weather Service and NOAA, also their weather modeling done by Raytheon. Raytheon up to their necks in weather mod.
We have someone on the line now that would like to talk with you.
Yeah, we have our friend John Brennan is joining us, and I think he has some very good questions for you, and I'd like to introduce him here. So if you hang on 1 second, I'm just going to put him on the line. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Hang on. Hello, Johnny. Are you with us?
Yes, Leo. Can you hear me?
Yes,
you
well,
sound
John.
Loud and
very
clear.
Well.
Yeah. Somebody else must have been on. I just hit the one after you. Somebody else may be on the line as well. Maybe before me. I don't know if you want to get them in first.
Dane is the only one with us right now, and he's been talking.
Okay.
Have you been listening to the conversation at all, or did you just call in?
Well, there's nothing new that I can bring that Dane hasn't already kind of spoken about. You know, I just nodded my head in agreement and kind of with sadness with the state of affairs. As you know, I did it probably. Well, we did a half an hour on your FM radio station.
Every week
we did it for about a year, and I also did Access TV. I put every known video at the time to try and awaken the mind dead public. You know, it's almost spraying Prozac on them. You know,
it's good to meet you, John, and I want to express my gratitude toward you because, however much resistance you had then. I believe that some of the seeds that you helped to plant then, perhaps we're seeing sprout now. So, again, my highest regard for the work you've done in the past and the effort you made to get the word out, and I think that effort is now beginning to yield fruit with all of us pulling together.
Yes, I was hoping that would be the case, Dana. You know, I understood that what I was doing was like trying to be like a surfer going up against a massive wave, but I chose to do it anyway because it, in terms of how the human mind works, predictive programming, I'd read a little bit about that and heard, you know, different guys on the radio like Alan Watt talk about how the Illuminati-type people use that in the movies to tell us in advance of what's coming. So using the same mindset, I thought if I put the stuff on the Access TV and just keep putting it out there, sooner or later people are going to see it. And it did work because I had a lot of people write me letters and ask me for copies of DVDs and videos and write, you know, letters and stuff. And mostly there were people over, you know, sort of 40, 50. The younger people seem to be not quite getting it. But I'm down in Florida at the moment, and a lot of people, younger people here, are very aware of it. And I have, of course, I'm always handing out flyers and putting them up on the notice boards everywhere. So yeah, I'm doing what I can. And you know, it has worn me down a little bit. I had to firewall myself off a little bit from it because it can kind of get to you a bit. You know, I'm a little bit out of the loop as regards, you know, what's going on. But I have seen your latest, I wouldn't say your latest, but you did a talk a while back. And one of the things you said in there, I just had to clap my hands and go, it's exactly what I was thinking. And the comment you made was either some of the people who don't believe in this chemtrailing, there's either three things that they are. They're either mentally retarded, clinically blind, or they're paid liars. That hit it right on the nail.
That was a good line.
Thought,
yeah. Yeah.
It was excellent. That's it. That's what's going on, you know.
And you can't come to any other conclusion. You know, if I left anything out, it would be some are threatened, and I know some that actually are. I was contacted by a scientist from a major university. She's in she actually runs a lab, and she's been pulled into, she said, a conference room now twice and told that she continues to talk about geoengineering, there'll be consequences. And she, you know, of course, concerned about what does that mean, just a loss of her job, or could it mean something worse? And so, you know, certainly I think threats are a part of this. I was contacted by a bioscientist from Stanford. I actually went to Stanford to interview her, and the day before we were really going to do something with her TV-wise with an interview. She was actually put on the headlines of the local paper in a big smear campaign. You know, these guys, this is the issue that they most want to hide. This is the issue that could most change the complexion of what we face if we could expose it and stop it. It would absolutely wake up people from every political party, every stripe, every ideology, if they understood that they are part of a grand and lethal experiment with horrific consequences already documentable. And, you know, if we could simply reach critical mass of awareness on this issue, I believe that it would change the equation. We still face tremendous challenges. There's a lot of damage that can't be undone, period. And right. The human race as a whole faces probable societal collapse, inevitable, I think. But,
yeah,
again, if we could allow the planet, we must allow the planet to respond on its own. That is our best chance at this point. These programs must be stopped.
How whistleblowers are treated in this country in any area.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, they're not treated well. And if you're part of the problem and you decide to share what it is, you know, you're taking a very serious risk.
And that's in any place, in the banking, sure. And military, and intelligence community.
No protection for whistleblowers.
And scientists. But you know what frightens me, and I think this was mentioned on your website, I'm not sure, but I think what bothers me so much is that not only is this not mentioned at all in the media, in any form, shape, or form, but it's also being dumbed down and being taught, chemtrails, and geoengineering is being taught in schools as a viable method of survival, you know, of weather. All right, it's like all of these chemtrails are natural form; they're natural out there. And also, it's just like in agriculture courses, genetically modified foods and hybrids and cloning and this kind of thing are all taught in agriculture courses as the future of agriculture. So it's like all of our new generations of students are all being brainwashed into believing this false science, you know? And
they're pushing this direction, but I think they know the pig won't fly. And that's why we've seen, and this is something people need to take note of, we've seen an absolute change of direction with what the media is pushing. Go back a few years, and certainly they – even let's take the Weather Channel with Heidi Cohen, whom I respect. She tried to do a number of pieces on the fact that the climate was in meltdown, and she was eventually gotten rid of, and the Rothschilds ownership took over. And now it is very clear. Anybody who watches the Weather Channel in recent weeks and months, it's extremely clear. They are given the marching orders to paint this picture of a frozen wasteland planet.
Yep.
Now – The situation is so severe, the damage done to the planet is so severe, not just from geoengineering, but geoengineering appears to be the single greatest factor. But it's so severe that now they're only trying to hide it. They're simply trying to create confusion as to the true state of the climate, and they're trying to hide the severity of the meltdown, I believe, in order to make whatever preparations they're still making, because they know they can't hide it for much longer. At the point in time it's out in the open, I think the whole game changes. Now, that makes the power structure much more dangerous, because I think they'll
lower another shoe. Yeah, on the social media, especially Facebook, I'm seeing a tremendous hatred against Al Gore, all right, and the whole global warming conspiracy, if you will. Yeah, they're beginning to see what this is all about. And
on that note, though, what I would say, again, I'm not an Al Gore fan. I make this very clear.
Yeah.
But there is absolutely, positively, no doubt the planet is in full-blown meltdown, and geoengineering is fueling that fire. And what I would encourage people to, again, separate the disdain for Al Gore, because I feel the same disdain for him. He's not an honorable man at all. But if people look at actual statistics, not headlines that focus on one location, actual statistics, and I'll give you a couple right now. We've just passed the 37th consecutive year of above normal global temperatures. We've just passed the 346-month consecutive month of above normal global temperatures. And in fact, we're seeing ocean temperatures are off the charts. And the only thing hiding that right now, we're also seeing temperatures underreported, not overreported as many would like to believe, but the areas we monitored routinely underreported the high temperature by 5 degrees, sometimes more. So right now, again, if people look past their horizon, and there's a huge population in the eastern half of the U.S. that's been subjected to engineered storm after engineered storm, and they've been, you know, it's hard to believe that it's warm anywhere when it's cold every day outside your window. But
right.
That is
very
localized.
You know, it was very interesting, and I wanted to bring this up because of the culpability of the mainstream media, you know, your local weather reports and so on, and, of course, Weather Channel. But, you know, remember, John, when you went to see the meteorologist, Horn, remember him? Johnny?
Yes. I didn't hear that, Leo. Say again.
Remember when you went to visit that the local meteorologist guy? I think his name was David Horn or something. Or
no, Art Horn. Yes, he did. He does talks on cruise ships about was a meteorologist. So I stood up in the library and I asked him, you know, about do you speak about geoengineering? You know, how the military and let's just say other forces have been toying with the atmosphere. Perhaps weaponizing weather, and I talked about the HAARP. He kind of said, well, that's a little bit out of my sort of field of thought. And I said, well, you're talking about the weather to the people on these ships, and you supposedly know everything about it, and yet you're leaving out one of the brand new, I guess you'd call it, parts of physics that it's only very recent that has to be included in any talks when it comes to, you know, global warming. You cannot have people toying with the atmosphere with, you know, the HAARP technology and just leave that out of the equation, because ultimately if you're boiling the atmosphere and it's got to be a lot more horrific doing that with megawatts than putting your CFC from your spray underarm deodorant into the atmosphere or the exhaust pipe of your car. But no, you know, they don't know about it. You got to be on drugs if you think that. That's kind of answer you get from these people. I just got to say my telephone is just telling me my minutes are low. I did not realize, so I could get cut off any time. Just one quick thing Dave might want to talk about. I'm just curious about the ocean fertilizing. How does the fertilizing with the metal filings that they've done all over the planet, how is that working in conjunction with the chemtrails, do you think?
I don't know that there's a direct correlation in that case. Certainly HAARP and the spraying are directly connected, but what we do know about ocean fertilization is it creates anoxic zones, dead zones. Why wouldn't it? It pulls the oxygen out of that area, and so, yes, it absorbs some CO2, but at what cost? You know, and this is where the insanity of these programs is evident. So, yes, I agree also with you, John, that, you know, any discussion of climate conditions, climate change, is completely invalid without an inclusion of the single biggest component of all, which is climate engineering.
Right.
So, you know, we do have, I mean, the anthropogenic activity has done damage, period. There's no, we put 4 billion gallons, 4 billion with a B, gallons of hydrocarbon into the air a day. That is a problem, period. But if the planet had been allowed to respond on its own for the last 60 years, if the hydrological cycle, the rain cycle, had been allowed to increase as the laws of physics say it can, would, and must, then the forests would be thriving, not dying. They would be absorbing carbon, not putting carbon out like they are now. So, you know, we would be, in all likelihood, an exponentially better overall equation right now if they had never engaged in these programs. That being said, sea level rise is occurring, and it would have occurred as the Earth responded. There would be sea level rise, and that's one of the issues that I believe the geoengineers have delusionally felt they could hold off, because obviously modern civilization is not going to do well with sea level rise. But isn't it better to have an ocean that's a bit higher and have a planet that's alive than have a planet that's dead completely? And so, you know, I agree. The fact that academia is so completely moot on the the massive elephant in the room, which is geoengineering in the sky, is astounding. But I think we're getting close to breaking the dam of silence. And if everybody pulls together, this is the strategy we give to people. As you said, John, you're passing out flyers. We do the same. And we have a very polished flyer on the cover on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. You can download it for free, print it in your area. Very effective flyer. So have information to pass on to people, credible data, and not just go, you know, don't just go into a rant, because that doesn't wake people up.
Yeah, I found that doesn't work. And one other thing, just real quickly, because I think my minutes are running out. I also thought to be a little more active right before the full awakening, hopefully coming soon. I had thought about perhaps getting a letter, sort of the certified letter that we would sell to every town manager, every small town in America, basically telling them that they will be held personally responsible for the information that they're not giving the public that we are now sending them. So in the event that something major happens, that those people at a personal level will be sued right down to the wheels on their Mercedes. you know what I mean? You know, but at this point, it might be good to draw up something like that. I actually did talk about something and had it, you know, in print. If I could do it from memory, I would, but I really can't. And I just had a busy day, and we talked about basically all of what is going on. We talked about the patents, you know, the stratospheric wells, that cloud seeding, the HARP technology. It is being used, and you are being told as a town official or mayor or whatever, a group of Chamber of Commerce, is, I think, would be a great place to start. And if they choose to ignore the warning that they're given, they will be held responsible in the event that something catastrophic goes down that becomes mainstream, that they will be, you know.
John, you remember the public hearing that you went to in New York?
Long Island.
Was it Long Island?
Yes, Long Island Skywatch. Yeah. It might still be up there in the archive.
We
had about 100 people turned up.
Hey, John, if I could, I want to say I fully agree with your thinking on this. I completely agree, and we are doing something along the lines of what you suggested. We are sending a tailored package with data out to, congressmen, various institute or environmental organizations, and even if they don't respond, and typically they're not, it's still a notice to them that we know you know. We know
yes.
you know. And,
exactly.
and that you will be held accountable for ignoring this issue. So, yes, we are taking that tack.
But I actually think at the higher level guys are not going to respond. So let's go for the other end of the dog, so to speak. We go down and go to warn the lower levels at a huge amount. If we get at the grassroots level, we get everybody walk into even the local police station.
Oh, we're doing both. I mean, right now we have a...
You know, everything.
We're targeting universities. We're trying to get... our flyers are, again, colored, glossy. They're very nice information piece that people tend to hang on to, and we're trying to saturate some universities with those flyers and start spot fires everywhere. You know, it's a spot fire everywhere.
I'll get
looking at those flyers right now.
From your,
They're similar to the ones you passed out, John, remember? The one the ones you got from Roslyn Peterson?
Oh, yes, I did, from California Skywatch. Those were nice and glossy. They were actually the ones they showed on the Discovery Channel. It was the best evidence series they did, Chemtrails or True or False, one of those kind of shows. It was a fairly fair show early in the days, you know, but, I mean, it's up on YouTube, Dan, you've probably seen it.
I have, and I'm familiar, I know Roslyn, I'm familiar with their flyers. We've put a certain amount of hard data on there. I know Roslyn put some theatrical names on some of those clouds.
Yeah, the knots on a rope and stuff, right.
Yeah, we've tried to just actually stick to a very sobering flyer that has enough data but not too much. Our site for more data they can go to, and you know, but you can look at it. It's on the homepage of Geoengineering Watch, and you can download it for free. And we've sent out about 60,000 flyers already. So we're trying.
Ask you, Dane. Have you talked with Clifford Carnicom at all?
Yeah, I know Clifford and Will Thomas. John, I'm sure you know Will.
Those guys are your pioneers. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Will's a good friend, and Clifford, I think, is he's engaged in research right now, and I'm hoping he kind of addresses the bigger picture again. And you know, Morgellons is certainly important, but I think we need to keep the whole ship from sinking, though. If they learn about the issue, then those that need to know about Morgellons will find their way to that point too. But I think right now we all need to focus on plugging the hole in the bottom of the ship, and any other activity is arranging deck chairs on the surface, which is not going to help us.
I think Johnny's cell phone just ran out there, but I wanted to thank him. Thank Johnny very much for being on. But go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
Putting something on the ballot
out there in California?
Anything?
I don't think we're going to see anything like that, and I don't know that would go anywhere yet. I mean, we need a critical mass of awareness, but we're getting closer to that because they've simply cut our rain off here. They've just literally cut it off. And there is high level awareness of this in Sacramento now. The awareness is growing quite rapidly in a lot of arenas. So I think we're reaching the 100th monkey. I hope we reach it soon.
Yeah.
And we need to get to that point.
You know, I was going to ask you about a couple of years ago, there was a serious chemtrailing that was happened in San Francisco. And it was well noted everywhere that they were spraying the skies like crazy, but there was never any real follow up on that. Nothing really came about it. Have you heard any more about it, or is there any real action going on in the San Francisco area?
Yeah, there's a lot of activists there,
You were mentioning that there's a severe drought out there in California. And, of course, that's probably a manipulated drought, I would guess, because
there's no probably about it.
Do you have any guesses as to why California is being punished that way? Does somebody want to buy up the land?
There's several likely reasons. One, there's cataclysmic things unfolding in the Arctic. That's absolute fact. You guys probably heard last fall that, the Arctic is expanding, the ice is all back. You probably heard headlines like that, right?
Yes, we did.
Absolute lie. In fact, right now, as of a week ago, the latest ice mass and ice extent data from the Arctic, it's at record lows right now. And all that was total media spin last year. So what they do, back to the drought in California, every time there's bad news from the Arctic, there's a certain conveyor that they set up with the jet stream movement that appears to be related to what they're doing in the Arctic. They put high pressure over California. They pump the jet stream straight north into Alaska, creating record temperatures in Alaska. By the way, January was the warmest January in Alaska ever recorded. Not going to hear that on any media, but it's you can look this up at Google. So they pump the jet stream north, back down, spraying it with ice nucleating material, cooling off the eastern half of the U.S., picking up moisture from the Gulf of Mexico and pumping it back north where they nucleate it and are trying to keep the last little remnant of ice left in the Arctic. So that makes California collateral damage at minimum, which makes it a climate sacrifice zone. But beyond that, they're chasing water rights here. They're chasing control. They're breaking the local farmers, as you mentioned, Lila, perhaps to buy up the land. There's a lot of layers to this onion. But the bottom line is, on the track we're on, the implosion of the biosphere will be so cataclysmic that I think the power structure will not be able to carry out its plans because there simply be chaos. When there's not enough food to go around, you're not going to have a very organized anything, and we're very close to that point. So there's a number of reasons why they're droughting out California, but one thing we can say for certain, it is a direct result of climate engineering.
Wow. Dana, I wanted to ask you, I'd like to have you on again, possibly and next week, but as soon as next week, the one thing we didn't get to talk about much, and I feel is very, very important, is geoengineering and genocide, all right? And I know you mentioned this in your video, and there's one on your site, an interview with Josefina Freo, where she talks about geoengineering and genocide, and you have that posted on your website. And we have been very, very, very aggressively trying to explain this to our listeners and to and I've put it on my websites, and John has talked about it with many people and in seminars. But would you be willing to come on and talk more in depth about that?
Yes, and at this point, I don't I don't think that there's any question that the sickening of the population is likely a part of this program. And now that we know, I don't know if you guys saw in Popular Science, they just put an article out, and we know their job is to make the completely unnatural seem natural. They're just part of the power structure. But they've just found E. coli bacteria at 33,000 feet. What the hell is that doing there?
We've known for a long time that they've been throwing chaff in there and also pathogens, okay?
Yes.
Into these chemtrails, and it's like,
I don't think there's any question about that.
No question, and I don't know if you seem to have a lot of evidence. We have accumulated quite a bit over time, but would you be willing to come back and talk about that in depth
Give me we'll communicate by email, Leo, and we'll figure something out, because I certainly want to get the word out, and I'm very grateful to you guys, very grateful to John Brennan, and again, I appreciate what everybody's doing. It's all of us pulling together on this that will make the difference.
It's going to take that, Dane, and we really, really appreciate your work, and
we thank you very much for coming on the show and giving us a lot to think about and giving our listeners a lot to think about.
And a new shot of enthusiasm. Adrenaline there. Yeah, enthusiasm.
Yeah, let's get our stride right now, because we're closer to critical mass of awareness than people realize. And if we reach that point, the dominoes will begin to fall. They will.
Right.
So you guys, we'll talk by email. And again, thanks for your giving me a voice today, and I'll look forward to connecting with you guys after.
Okay.
And I also wanted to mention that you can embed this program on your site if you're interested in doing that.
Yes.
Send
me a link.
Send
me a link.
Okay. All right.
Sounds good,
thank
guys.
You.
You guys have a great day.
Good night. Remarkable, and I want to thank John for joining us tonight too. John Brennan, he joined us
from Florida, actually.
Yeah, and Dane, of course, is from Oregon. And
he's right in the on the frontier.
Right on the edge, and right on the cutting edge now. And we're so glad that somebody is out there,
talking about it.
And he's putting all of his effort into it.
I hope he gets some traction.
I hope he does too, and we're going to try to help him. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight, and join us tomorrow night when we have our special guest Larry Dorman from the ASME Union. We'll be talking about union issues, and we'll be talking about some of their most recent crazy Obama stuff that's coming up, and some union victories. And I talked to them a little bit about minimum wage increase, what do you think about that, and how successful that's going to be.
It's certainly needed.
So join us tomorrow night on Wednesday when we speak to Larry Dorman. And thank you for joining us. And please check out Dane Whittington's website.
geoengineeringwatch.org.
Right. So good night, everybody, and talk to you tomorrow.
Good night, folks. Have a good night.